G'day punters and welcome to The Money Men. My name is Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton from the Sportsbet Trading Floor. How was the week, Benny? We got some news yesterday in Melbourne that this hard lockdown continues.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a setback for everyone. I was a bit flat yesterday in that thinking that restrictions might be eased a little bit, but as I say every week, just glad that racing is going so we've got something to do and something to barrack for.
Absolutely. Doing a great job, the racing industry. Let's crack on to Moonee Valley. Drying conditions. So this track ended up being pretty hard and fast. We get the daily sectionals from Vince Arcardi. Thanks very much for sending them through, Vince. True position the entire, good four, upgraded after race two to a good three. And from the times that Vince has sent us and putting it into our database, this has been a white-hot track. I reckon they've run some really quick times. So they're going to go into the treasure, but the Moonee Valley track staff, I thought, have done a sensational job from 2 weeks ago when that track was an absolute ploughed paddock to what they came up with two weeks from there.
Didn't it race well? Like, I was a little bit sceptical going into the meeting knowing that it had been so bottomless 2 weeks ago, but it raced so well. Only one winner, one leader. So normally Moonee Valley can be a leader's paradise, but when it's in the true, it really is a good track. You just got to find the right horses. And, you know, it was evident early on in that first race where that leader, she won, but there are a lot of horses who made some ground. It was evident then that it was going to be a fair track for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I do want to just mention something for the punters out there, a punting tip, that when we've got a track that is in this good three range, gee, they run straight. And when I mean by they run straight, the favourites seem to hold their position. They do the right thing by the punters. I reckon they did a really – Marty Simon decided not to irrigate Friday night, so there was no extra water going on at all. So it just continued to dry out. When the tracks dry out, they race fast. The best horse usually wins. I think five of the favourites win one. Four of the other horses that won the races were well supported. Punters would be out there saying, hey, let's keep these dry conditions. Let's not irrigate because it is absolutely – a fill-up for punters when they do.
Because we see the track on Saturday how it races, but they're making these decisions weeks in advance sometimes to try and get it in the peak condition. They've got to look at forecasts, and to really nail that decision is very tough, but it was great on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's crack in. Race one. So only a moderately run race here, Benny. 23.36 last 400, last 200, 11.84, which was pretty good overall for the day. Our Womantic was off 182 days led. This was the horse you spoke of, was the only leader to win. And she fell in.
This is the definition of falling in, isn't it? I'm worried about her going forward. I suppose the positive for her is that no other horse did lead on the day and she was able to lead and win. But what worries me is the amount of horses that were climbing over hills trying to get past her. And I don't know. I think they've placed her really well, how Womantic, the Mara and Eustace camp, in to build that record of five wins from six starts. There's nowhere to hide now. She has to go up in class and it's only going to get tougher. What she does have in her advantage is she's an on-pace horse. But I just think I'm a little bit worried for her going forward because only going to get harder for her.
Yeah, that's a good point. From a market perspective, Cordilla, $4.80 and solid, finishes sixth, has no luck whatsoever. This is a horse that was first up off 63 days. All three wins have been at 1,400 metres. I think you can follow that horse with confidence. I love the fact that the market was with it and it just had no luck at all. Palmy, 17-13, failed the start previous. It finishes second. I think you can now identify Palmy as a dead set dry tracker. So anytime you get a dry track, I think Palmy will run well for you. Anytime a little bit of soft, you can let it go around without you. And our Womantic, $2.80 into $2.60. But you spoke about on Insider Trading that it was a lot of volume for this horse. We speak about Mara and Eustace a lot. 34 winners from their last 118 at 29%. It was a high percentage play. Goes forward, as you said, was already a winner 4 from 5. A lot of volume for this horse, wasn't there?
Yeah, for sure. And she was very popular early on in betting. Palmy, you mentioned it's had two runs back now. It is ready to win. It was a terrific run on Saturday. And obviously Cordilla, going to get over 1,400 mile. It's in for a really good campaign. I mentioned on Insider Trading that every start it's had, its rating has kept improving. Yep. And that's a sign of a horse who can go up in grade now and really, really be hard to beat.
Good shout. Race two, half a second inside standard time here. So, look, it was only a 78 restricted. So they're going half a second inside standard time. We put that into perspective of the races that it's going up against. 23.74, 11.94. Pretty good last 400, last 200, considering they went out pretty quick, I thought, for this type of race. And Shandy, well, now makes it three in a row. We spoke about it a little bit on Three Wide and also Insider Trading. This is a horse that's just come back a better horse off the 245-day break. We're stepping up to 1,600 metres here. Now won three in a row. Jamie Carr's had those three wins, three rides. It was a good performance, I thought.
Yeah, the horses seem to click with Jamie Carr, hasn't it? Really gone to that next level. Didn't have any favours in the run, didn't really have any cover. They did go at a decent clip. And I think at the 100-metre mark, it was going to win a lot easier than it eventually did. But I think it's run-ended. The run that the effort it took to make up all that ground really took its toll, and it was sort of probably running on empty at the end. But all honours with a winner. It was fantastic.
Yeah, worth noting as well, it was scratched last week with the vet certificate. The blood wasn't right. So maybe they just missed maybe some work. So I expect now, fourth up, it might absolutely go to another level because there's another level in this horse. So it might jump out of the ground for you next start, Shandy. From a market perspective, Skyman, $6.50 out to $7.50. Market took a set against this horse. It finishes 10th, and understandably so. It was off 28 days. Apprentice jockey was on, so we know the market goes against those horses. Sovereign Award, $5.50 out to $6.50. Don't know where that horse sits now. Go to Lean, 19 into $14. Thought of that, was rock solid at $10, but the market was all about Shandy. We talk about the pros, where they want to be in this space. Well, they got this one right. $3.50 into $2.70. It was heavily supported throughout the morning. So they got that one bang on. But there's a couple of horses, and one in particular that you want to mention for the black bookers out there, for the punters out there.
Oh, it's just Grand Promenade, the toppie in this race. Had carrying a big weight over an unsuitable trip. You can see 600 out. He had a lot of horse under him, but there are a lot of bums running. He was had to run up to as well, and he ducked back to the inside, and you see him there in the green cap. Fantastic run. This is a horse who gets over 2,400 metres. He can win a really good race in the spring, I think.
Yeah, and also I identified just Saracen Knight, which sort of came together, and it went to the outside. Your horse, Grand Promenade, went back to the inside. It was off just close to 3 years. It's an import time form around about 105. So just want to be going around this 78 grade. Don't want to be going up to handicaps, but I think it was a nice effort. But Grand Promenade, it put together a sensational record before last prep. So it was off 161 days on Saturday. When it gets to 2,000 metres plus, we spoke about Mara and Eustace, their camp just airborne over those kinds of distance, going at 24-25% ahead of their career at 17%. Grand Promenade, it's in for a really good prep. Country Cup sort of type horse, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon that might even be selling it a little bit short. I'm a huge rat for this horse. When they do string together those wins in a previous campaign, I just think when they come back like this, I think he's in for a huge campaign.
It's not a bad share because I like the fact that it started over a mile. So in essence, they can get it going. And the Herbert Power might be right in its zone. We know the Caulfield Cup's not going to be a strong race. And you speak about those last five races, its SP was 280, 210, 220, $1.95, $1.80. The market's got this horse as a good horse. So Grand Promenade, follow it with confidence. Race three, again, they've gone out pretty quick here, Benny. 0.2 of a second inside standard time, but the last 400, last 200 is going to be of concern, I think. 24.56, 12.66, the worst of the day by far. I'm worried about this race going forward. I know the market absolutely identified the winner, Flash Flood. But is there anything really that you want to be taking out of this race?
Going into this race, it's a race where horses have got derby aspirations. So you're looking for a horse to jump up out of the ground and put itself into calculations. And none of them did it for mine. I think these are real second or third rate three-year-olds. And Flash Flood, I thought, was in the right place at the right time. There were a few unlucky runners in behind as well, which I think murkies the form a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Not huge margins. One of those horses in particular was Cumberbatch. Didn't have much luck there, back on the inside in the Mick Price colours. Flash Flood, market new here again, $19 into $9. So this is one where they were happy to take on the favourites and play a random cluster bet, as we call it. Luna Fox was solid at $10. It finishes fourth. There's probably a race in it. Milton Park, 16 into $8.50. And Hit the Spot, well, it was the original favourite, $6.50 out to $13. Market took a huge set against that synthetic win that it had. Even though it was pretty good late 400, last 200, the market said no thanks.
Yeah, and in a race where it's so wide open, you can back multiple horses, and yep. and the pros did. The other horse worth following, Wertheimer, didn't have any luck. By Tavistock, it's going to really eat up more ground. So I reckon it's probably the main horse I think's got a chance of doing something in the next few weeks.
Race four. This is the fastest of the three 1,600 metres. So there's three 1,600 metres on the day, and Junipel's race was the fastest. Half a second inside standard time. They only just went at an even tempo, but 23.48, 12 flat, last 400, last 200. Obviously, the key factor here is the horse not in shot of Irish. Dwayne Dunn's hit his head and obviously dislodged one of his vertebrae. So good luck to Dwayne on that road to recovery. But in terms of the market, Junipel, $2.40 into $2.15. Look, I think there was a slight knock on that inside gate, but the small field probably helped it. It was a good ride, got to the out when he needed to, Johnny Allen, and won an Odeon 9 into $7.50. Probably now he's ready to go. The key with it is also a dry track.
Yeah, I thought Juno Powell was fantastic. By the time that race came around, you knew you could make ground, and that inside gate obviously was a little bit of a query, but he sort of put that to bed early on in the race, and he travelled so well, and you know, when they were around in the turn, got it out at the right time, and it was never going to lose. I think Shot of Irish effectively not being in the race helped Juno Powell, but
of course.
Yeah, I think he is in for a really good campaign. That's two really good runs now. He's got three or four more runs left this campaign, and he can be a competitor in harder races than this.
Race five, this is a really slowly run race, but they did run equal to standard time. The reason why they got to equal to standard time, Benny, is because this last 400, last 200 is absolutely monstrous. 22-4 last 400, 11-3-4 last 200. Best of the day by far. Well, we've spoken about this horse a lot. We knew he had the ability to be a Group 1 horse. He's still got to get there, and they've still got to place him in one. But he's a ripper showmanship. It was really interesting. You messaged me, obviously, I reckon maybe about 1 or 2 hours before this race, just with three letters, COT. And COT, for people out there, is change of tactics. They were going to try and ride this horse a little bit more positive. Whatever you had in your bank, when they do change of tactics with a horse like this and you knew it was going to be forward, you start unloading it.
Yeah, and I was surprised the market didn't find it a little bit more, because there was a little bit of a rush after the change of tactics were announced, but it got a little bit soft as well. So there was a bunch of punters who wanted to take it on, but you know, by the time they settled after 200 metres, it was game over, because this is a Group 1 horse in racing against non-Group 1 horses. So his turn of foot can get him out of trouble at times, and he's got a Group 1 in this spring. I think the Ruby Clark suits him perfectly, but apparently the owner's not going that way.
Well, we don't know where he's going to go, but yeah, you're right. It just seems the Ruby Clark's perfect. I will say, we spoke about it on Insider Trading. It was 2.10 out to about that $2.30, $2.35, and just looked the way the market was trending towards Age of Chivalry, and that's the way it was going to trend, that it was going to get to that 6-4 even further. But once those change of tactics came in, as you said, it just swallowed back into that $2.25 and held it about there. Age of Chivalry, just three back out to $3.10. Three wide the whole way. Now, obviously, it's going to go to the Rupert Clark. I don't think it's one of Damien Lane's best rides. Probably wanted to sit outside later. Decides to go three wide. But in saying that, that wasn't its grand final. So off its first up run, now we can peek off this one.
Yeah, but they did go slow. So I think this horse is probably two or three lengths off the absolute top ones and showed itself up a little bit. I think it's a much better Caulfield 1,400-metre horse. But, that winner's in a class of his own, and he's got a big race in him.
Yep, absolutely, totally agree. We'll be back after the break to dissect the last four races, including the Fian Stakes. Welcome back to The Money Man. We are dissecting Moonee Valley. This track was white hot, Benny, good three, and they've ran right up to that with some of these times. Going to get into race six here. They've gone out pretty good here for this 1,000-metre contest. 23.18 last 400, 11.8 last 200, which was okay. But I think there's a big lesson in this race. There was a few horses that I thought failed, but there was a horse that had won a Group 1 at its previous start, went to a trial. It was off 126 days. Its name was Balavalla. It was ridden by Jamie Carr, and it won.
And it was a Moonee Valley specialist as well. No, you can't make a case for any of the Beaten Brigade, because this sat three wide on a really good tempo and was just too good for him. I was on Brooklyn Hustle. I was bullish about her chances.
Yep.
You didn't want a bar of it. Did you want to be on it at the 400?
Oh, he couldn't have put enough on.
I love the position it landed in. Go with that turn of foot, with the tempo they're going, it'll finish over the top of them. It was bitterly disappointing. I know Jason Warren said before the race that there was plenty of improvement for her.
They'd want to be. Come.
They would want to be. But if condition is given out over a 1,000-metre race, and that's the reason why she didn't win, that's unforgivable for mine. But I think there might the boom on her might be better than her actual ability.
In terms of the market, Brooklyn Hustle, you speak of, $3.90 into $3.80, was pretty solid. As you say, finished as third, probably had every chance. Hanseatic was the drifter. Well, it was an interesting one, this market. 3:30 Hanseatic, 9 a.m., gets out to $4.20 off a map perspective, but then back into $3.60. So there was a good push late for Hanseatic. It finishes fourth. And Balavalla, $5 into $4. We speak about the pros, whether they knew, whether they didn't know. Well, they knew with this one. $5 into $4 was a really good go. And I think there's you have to continue to learn through every race that you do and you analyse. And here was the perfect example for me in terms of, here's Balavalla. This is a high percentage play. We speak about this a lot. We always want to be in the spaces of high percentage plays. This is what this horse exactly was. So Jamie Carr had three rides on it for two wins. Jamie Carr's going at 20 from her last 60 at 33%, five from her last 14 going at 36%. So that's perfect. You've got a horse that was on speed, and you've got a horse that from 1,000 metres, we talk about 1,000 metre races, you need an 1,000 metre horse. Now, I know a few of these were in that boat, but six from 13, now seven from 14 at 1,000 metres, on speed against its rivals, Hanseatic and Brooklyn Hustle, which we know were going back and had proper bad gates. It was the biggest high percentage play of the day, yet I couldn't find it. So I think the lesson there is, there are high percentage plays. They're exactly that. You're going to win more often than not.
Yeah, there were no real negatives with Balavalla, but whereas you could make up some negatives for Brooklyn Hustle and Hanseatic. What did you make of Hanseatic? This is a boom to your old back for its three-year-old campaign.
I think he was okay. Yeah. I think he was okay. He'll now go to the Moya, but he needs things to pan out for him. Like, he's going to get back again. He's not a horse that has gate speed, so it's a low percentage play. So again, if you're taking a horse at $3, $4, I want him to be ticking a lot more boxes than what he does, especially with his gate speed.
He just doesn't look the absolute top draw to mine.
Yeah, it's a fair call. Race 7, we're going to move on here, Benny. This was a really fast run race, a quarter of a second inside standard time for the three-year-olds. 24-2, 12-28, last 400, last 200, which is slightly worrying, but they did go out really fast. So you could possibly forgive that, but the last 400, last 200 doesn't stack up greatly for the rest of the day. What do you make of this? Because Night Raid was coming from its Tura win. It clearly identifies that you can win from anywhere in Victoria. Peter Moody showed us that 10 years ago when Moment of Change won at Matoa by 15 or whatever and came out and ended up winning a Group 1 later on in its life. You can win from anywhere, but Night Raid's a nice horse, I think.
Yeah, and we've been waiting for a three-year-old to step up because we've talked about how even the bunch of Metropolitan three-year-olds are this season. And you needed something to come from a little bit of left field, and this is what Night Raid's done. It's won at Tatura, won in really good time, importantly ran some really good late sections, gave it a good platform to go up in class, and obviously was too good. I think it's a good horse going forward.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think the race has gone particularly well, but I think it's got scope for improvement. Aidensfield's the one for mine. Only first up horse in the race. Had to do a lot of work to come around him and kept finding the line. I think it's got heaps of improvement in it, and he's a really top draw filly, Aidensfield, for mine.
Yep. So when you take into account this last 400, last 200, I think what you also need to understand here, punters, is the first 600, we'll compare it to the showmanship race of race 5. They've gone out the first 600 2 seconds quicker. So they have gone very, very fast. So understandably, they've knocked up late. In terms of the market, River Knight, $6 out to $8.50. Dirty Thoughts, it was the horse that had put a couple in a row, even off that really wet track. The market wanted to be with it. $6.50 into $5.50, finishes third. Agreeable, $4.20 out to $4.40. I thought it was good. It was bigger on the exchange, though. Aidensfield, $4.60 out to $6. Market took a set against it first up, but plenty of improvement, you'd think. So there's a positive sign. And Night Raid, $4.40 into $3.40. They identified, yes, it's Tatura, but they identified it was 3/4 of a second quicker than anything last 400, last 200. That stacks up.
Just another point on Agreeable.
We'll roll the vision now just of the back as a black booker here, Benny. So go for it.
Well, they went out really hard. It sat out the back, not doing a lot, ran home all right. Is there any more merit in its run than in Aidensfield?
Probably not, but I just love the fact that I don't think it was here to win this race, Agreeable. It was Jamie Carr's first sit on, and I black booked this horse first up, and I've black booked it again because I think now 1,400 metres, the 1,000 Guineas Prelude, is this when this horse will go through the roof, and I want to be with it. So I think the punters need to be aware that it's probably going to even be able to find a position. It might be able to sit in that first five or six. They'll be there. They'll be ready. I reckon the market will be with it. And I reckon it can win.
The camp do peak him on the right day as well. But I'm with Aidensfield going forward. Yep. I really like her.
No knock at all from that either. Race 8 was the Fee and Stakes, Benny. Quarter of a second outside standard times. They've only gone moderately. 23.5 last 400, 12 flat last 200 in terms of an overall race. That concerns me heavily coming off a moderately run race. First 800 metres was half a second slower than race 4, which was the Junipal race. So that shows how slowly they were going compared to that race. And Humidor, well, he brings back some memories.
Yeah, I know. Is it 2016, is it? It's a free ticket into the Cox Plate, this race. But
yep.
These aren't Cox Plate horses, surely not. If these are Cox Plate horses, we're in for – this is the standards dropped three or four lengths, I think.
Well, we did have Winx there for 4 years, so clearly it's going to have dropped. There's no doubting that, but I agree with you 100%.
Well, I just – great training effort to get Humidor to win another race. I think, you know, he had a nice run in behind him and did a really good job to win, but you look at the Beaten Brigade, surprise baby, it's going to be better. You know, it needs 3,200 metres.
Yeah.
If this is a weight for age horse, I don't know. And Sir Coney and
yeah.
Streets of Avalon. They're two or three below the absolute best. So I'm not sold on this race, and I think the Cox Plate winner has come from elsewhere.
Oh, I would say so. I think you're pretty safe there. Worth noting, three quarters of a length covered the first five as well. We speak about it. Margins are always a concern, and that concerns me. In terms of the market, Sir Coney, $4.50 into $4.20, went forward. The Fit Horse, Harbour Views, $4.20 out to $5.50. Had his chance, maybe knocked up late, but maybe that's just him. Jury's out. Surprise Baby, $3.20 out to $3.60, back into $3.20. So market, good support for that horse. I think only maybe one more run into the Melbourne Cup. We'll say that it's gone just about comparable to what it did last year in the Fan, a little bit better this year, but it hasn't gone through the roof. It's not this superstar that everyone was pointing into now, and it's just an absolute misere in the Melbourne Cup. I'm concerned if Aidan O'Brien, which we're getting reports that he's going to be bringing four or five for the Melbourne Cup, and maybe those Northern Hemisphere three-year-olds, that's where I'd want to be putting my faith in, because Surprise Baby hasn't improved that much. He's going to be a good mighty chance because he's going to get the same weight as last year, but he hasn't taken a big step, I don't think. Last race, through a third of a second inside standard time, Benny, 23.98, 12.28, last 400, last 200, only average for the day. And, well, De Beer of 49 days, travelled into the race like the winner, but then just got soft late, probably the 49 days, but another horse off 49 days, pokes up through the inside, Credence wins the race.
He just had a little bit of a softer run than De Beer. De Beer had to cart the field up to him, sat outside the leader and obviously got a little bit tired late. I think it will bring him on for a 2,500-metre race at Moonee Valley, but it was a collective groan when he got tired late, because I know a lot of sports bet people were on this horse because it did look its race on paper.
Yeah, it was a big go, De Beer. I mean, I think they went up at about $4 each of two, but started $2.80 favourite, clear favourite. Credence, $4.40 out to $4.80, back into four. Don't know if it's a race I want to be following, but those horses will find a race somewhere. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. Welcome back to the Money Man. Trash and Treasure, I'm going to start off here, Benny. The Fiend Stakes goes into the curbside area. Just from a weight for age type of race, a Group 2 level, I thought it was poor. I don't think it rated very well at all,
so
the Fan Stakes.
Are you saying Surprise Baby can't win the Melbourne Cup?
Surprise Baby can definitely win the Melbourne Cup, but it won't be winning any weight for age races.
Okay, Brooklyn Hustle for mine. I think she had every chance. That really showed her up that in that class she's probably a length or two below.
The Treasure here, Moonee Valley track staff was just an absolutely brilliant job, what they did there, Marty Sinan. And I love the fact that you didn't irrigate Friday night. Punters would have loved it as well. It ran straight as it could.
Maren Eustace.
Oh, Maren Eustace. I'm going to talk about a couple here. Maren Eustace and Price and Kent Jr. You just got to be with these stables. So Maren Eustace, 32 from 127 at 25%. Huge volume of horses. To be able to do that is outstanding. Price and Kent Jr., 23 from 88 at 26%. They're in rare air. And Jamie Carr, spoke about her stats. 5 from her last 14, 20 from her last 60, 33%. Got to be with her.
You love a stat, don't you?
Oh,
showmanship, Group 1 horse. I just hope they go to the Rupert Clark because I think that's the right race for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if they don't go there, maybe they're going to look at maybe trying to get an Everest slot. So good luck to the team there with showmanship. We'll be back next week. It's Maccabi Stakes Day and Russian Camelot's back. Maybe he's the hope for the Aussies.